Blog Talk Radio.
Recruiting Animal here on June 19, 2013. I don't know if you noticed recently, but something is going very wrong with this show. I've been doing this show for 6 years, and I can tell you with complete certainty that the individual show lives or dies by the ability of the guest to tell a story. She has to be able to back up whatever she says with real life examples. Otherwise, there's nothing to talk about, and nothing she says has any substance. If it doesn't relate to reality, that's a no-brainer, isn't it? That's what I think. You say the moon is made out of green cheese, you better be ready to tell us about your trip into outer space. Otherwise, no one is going to believe you. Just last week, my new friend, Tim Sackett, was on the show. Tim seems like a smart guy. He seems like a nice guy. He seems to have a lot of great experience. But he came on and he said that internal corporate recruiters were not really recruiters at all, and they stink. Here's how he described it. He said a girl comes into the company and works in admin or reception, then she gets brought into HR, and then she ends up as a recruiter with no training and no inclination, and that's why internal recruiters are no darn good. So I said, Timmy, please give us some examples. But you know what? He refused. Here's what he said to me. He said, I think you're wrong to constantly push for specific situations and stories over and over again. I know you've been trained to do behavioral interviewing, but it hurts the flow of the show. You push for examples so much that we never get to the main point of the conversation. Here's how he finishes off. It was an email. I didn't hear one person from the audience challenge me on a specific example, but I heard you constantly. What a put down. Timmy, how wrong can you be if you don't give any examples? All we have is the main point of the conversation. All we have are your conclusions without any evidence. And is that the way we work in the modern world? Anybody can say whatever he wants and doesn't have to prove it? I don't think so. No. But our good friend from England, Mitch Sullivan, disagrees with me. He says the guest only has to know enough to answer follow-up questions about the stuff that needs challenging. Not everything, just the stuff that's interesting. You know, when Mitch was on, I'm sure I've told you before, he said he can write a better ad for a job than other people. And he said it on his blog, too. So I asked him to give us an example of a good ad and a bad one. I can't see what's wrong with that. But obviously, some people think it's wrong. I can't see why, though. Because, again, without any details, there is no show. There's nothing to talk about. And I'm not going to go on about my guest, Ziv, from a few weeks ago. The guy comes on a hot seat show. This is a hot seat show, and he takes offense when I say we're going to pummel him. It was a joke. That's half true, but what's wrong with that? You know what he liked? He liked it when I said that he's going to revolutionize recruiting. Every single vendor says that. They're all going to revolutionize recruiting, but I'd be embarrassed if people said that about me because it's obviously such a hack word, and if that's all you want to talk about, shallow things, you better think twice about coming here because we like to get down to the nitty-gritty on Jerry. Jerry, what show is this?
This is the Recruiting Animal Show!
not to experiment on my time or just yours?
That was my time.
Isn't that the bathroom where you should be doing that kind of fancy stuff?
You don't need to worry about my bathroom stuff, okay?
I meant looking in the mirror, you know.
Okay, all right. You didn't like it.
Well, you'd erase it up like when the guitar goes crazy at the end of the thing.
Yeah.
I like the standard one better.
Well, a little change up, man. It's mid-year. You got to... It's time to reflect on what you've been doing. What can you do to change? How can you get better? And I tried something. You don't like it, and you'll never hear it again.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Is there any special news you want to share with us today? About? I think we beat William Kingcup to death already.
No. There is no news. Oh, you know, Sherm's happening. Or maybe you didn't. But
is it over already?
I wish it was.
You know, Jerry, I was participating on the Twitter stream for Sherm. And they thought we were there, and people wanted to meet us. Anyway,
they think we are everywhere, Adam. Because
the internet forgets. Georgie Janine, or Janin, are you there?
I am here. Hello, Animal. Hi, Jerry.
Need to jump on a little quicker there, Georgie.
What's your name? What's your name, George?
Well, in English, you could say George.
What do people call you? In English, it's...
They call me George.
This is a bad sign.
Country.
The guy can't give me his name at the beginning of the show. I am worried.
We're looking for some traction here, Georges.
Hopefully it'll go
well
from George. There.
We'll call him Georgie. How do you say last name? Is it Janin or Janine?
Janin.
Is there a delay? Come on. Speed it up. Janin?
Hello? Yeah.
Are you on a real phone?
Testing.
I'm on Skype.
Don't get on Skype! Didn't you read the notes I gave you? Get off that Skype! Are you on Skype with a headset or without?
I'm on Skype with a cell phone.
Get off that Skype and call me on a landline! You've got a delay! How can we do the show like that? How many times did I tell you to read the information that I send? AnimalShowBasics.com. Gee whiz, this is terrible. Get off that line and phone me back on a landline.
Dude, that's probably long distance.
All right, we'll do.
So he's in New York. He's the only guy who isn't long distance.
Wait, let me see what I can do.
For me.
All right. Let's regroup.
I'm sorry that we may miss him talking about spam because of his situation.
He's a cold caller. He's a cold caller.
He's a cold caller, man. I thought you'd like that, Mike.
No, I do. I don't know anything about him. I didn't even look. Every guest lately seems to be a spammer, so I just figured it was another one.
You missed some of those spammers already. Hey, everybody want to say hi? I'm going to run through the list so people can say hi. Area code 609, you want to say hi?
That's me, Animal.
Oh, okay. 917, is that the guest? 917,
yeah,
is that
George.
You?
Yeah, it's me. Is it better?
Well, the sound doesn't sound great, but at least you're not delaying. You're answering me when I talk to you. Shame on you for not figuring that out. What's wrong with these guests? Okay.
I think it's my Wi-Fi.
Wow, he's got the double whammy.
If you read the instructions, I'm going to move on. But if you read the instructions, everybody in the audience, I beat their heads in with these instructions. Read them.
Where can we find those instructions again, Animal?
AnimalShowBasics.com.
Okay.
And that
I'm going to randomly insert some of the basics throughout this interview.
Okay, and that one is specifically at AnimalShowIntro.com. There's a bunch of pages. Anyway, AnimalShowBasics.com has everything. George, introduce yourself, okay? We got to get moving already. We lost
half
of the people who called in.
So, I'm George. I'm a startup recruiter in New York City, so I specialize in tech startups. And I've been teaching for the past 2 years a class called The Art of the Cold Call. And it basically covers the ins and outs of making calls. And it's been pretty successful so far. And I've used cold calling in most of my jobs, including recruiting.
Okay. When you say pretty successful, do people ever get back to you after your course and say, I made $10,000 more this year because of I did what you told me to?
I have had people do that.
Oh, really? Can you give me an example?
Yeah. I had a woman come, let me think, about 2 months ago, I had a woman who took my class and ended up calling a company called, doing everything I told her to do. So a lot of calls, obviously not all successful, but one of them was successful. And she ended up calling a company called Etsy, which is a pretty big startup here, to offer them some consulting services, I believe. And now she's a client. I actually cannot verify if it's $10,000, but it
okay,
is.
Okay, what was she doing? What was she doing wrong that you told her to change?
Well, the first thing that she wasn't doing is she wasn't actually making cold calls. So I think the big issue is not
there
necessarily that people
okay.
aren't saying anything, is that they're not making the calls.
Here's what you say. I'll read you. I have managed to break into markets with minimal marketing support against much larger competitors. I thrive in ambiguous and uncharted territories. In 2007, I sat in a small office alone and cold called on behalf of a small European ad tech company. That company today has grown to manage some of the largest brands in the country. I'm currently a headhunter with a boutique agency that works exclusively with startups in New York City. That's an introduction, okay?
Gotcha.
Now, you want to tell us, okay, you also say there's only one way. For a struggling startup, there's only one way to get the right person, and that's to pick up the phone. That's what you said, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. Why don't you start off by defining a cold call? We all know, but go ahead. You've got a good definition. I hope you give it to me.
Yeah. So a cold call is a call made to someone who does not know you and who is not expecting you to call. That is
right.
the okay. general definition I get.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. And you believe that people are built to do cold calls or they aren't, because they either figure it out quickly once they take your course or they're never going to figure it out. Is that right?
Yeah, I think that cold calling is fundamentally an unnatural human activity. I don't think people like to pick up the phone and get rejected again and again and again by somebody they've never seen before. But
okay.
there are, yeah.
So go ahead.
Okay. No, so it's saying,
okay.
there are other ways to, there are ways to get over it anyway. And so the first part of what I teach actually is a complete system to make cold calling not something that you think about, that you get worried about, that you think, oh man, this is going to be a horrible experience. It's just something that you do, not something that you mm-hmm. love to do, but something that you just do, kind of like putting in a contact lens.
Okay, so you could take a loser into your course and turn them into someone who's a cold call automaton, essentially, like you described. Is that right?
Yeah, it depends on how big of a loser, I suppose. But I take a regular person and turn them into someone who can make cold calls.
Okay. Now, should you make do warm-up talk when you get a cold call? Or like maybe we should go right into your recruiting cold call. Anybody got a question at this point? I know we took a long time to get here. Anybody got a question? No? What's your cold call to a candidate? Because there's cold calls to candidates, and there's cold calls for business development. Chris Fleek is not here today listening to the show, but that's his question. How do they bring in new business? But first we'll start off with your cold call to a candidate. You want to give us a real-life example?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll call a candidate up, probably ideally on their cell phone, but if I don't have that, I'll call them at work. And I'll usually say the following. Well, first of all, I want to create sort of the context around you have to think about the context in which the person is receiving the call. So I work with engineers at pretty good engineers in New York City. So these guys are getting harassed basically by people trying to give them, you know, putting them in jobs all over the place, whether it's like contract work or full time or whatever. They're always trying. I mean, they're getting like multiple reach outs a day.
Yeah.
Reach out?
Yeah. I just want him to keep going, Jerry.
Okay, man.
No, you're going to give us a real call, not a fantasy call, a real call that you've made. Can you tell us about it? I think we lost him again. Did we lose the guy?
Man, I can't sign into LinkedIn, man. It keeps asking me for my password. I just reset my password to my regular password.
Yeah, but, like, we lost the guest. Jeez. Does anybody have something to say? Really, we got to keep the show going. Yeah, we lost the guest. I'm sure it wasn't his fault. He got bumped, or maybe he's not used to using a real phone. You know what? I got all the answers. Here's what he says. This is George calling from XYZ Company. Is this a good time to talk? That's his initial line. And he's, because he's got an idea that he's going to be rejected. So what he does is he anticipates rejection. He pulls the rug out from the person who wants to put him down. He puts himself down. I know I'm not calling it a good time. When's a better time? That's essentially, I think, how he starts off his – here he is. Here he's back. Are you back with
us? Yeah, I'm back. I'm back. I'm sorry about that.
You didn't do that on purpose, did you, to ruin my
show? No, I didn't. I didn't. I would feel
because, you know, you're trying hard.
I'm already pretty well.
You're trying hard to wreck things, okay?
Yeah, I know. I know. Technically, I don't seem to be the best.
Yeah, give us your cold call, please.
So, I'll repeat it again. It was, hi, this is George. I'm calling from XYZ Company. I wanted to talk to you about, you know, blah, 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 opportunities. But I realized I'm calling you in the middle of your workday. It's probably a really bad time to talk. And I'll end it at that. And what that really does is it does a number of things. The first thing it does is it puts you in a category completely different from most people who are trying to cold call you, because someone who is cold calling you most likely is going to try to stay on the phone with you as much as possible in the hopes that for some reason you're going to say, okay, I'm going to, like, yeah, your offer actually sounds kind of interesting, which often doesn't happen. And so you're doing that, and at the same time, you're giving the person a really, really easy way to get off the phone. The only thing they have to do to get off the phone is to make a small commitment to you. So if they say, hey, they'll probably say something like, yeah, this is not the right time. Because obviously they don't want to have a chat with you in their office if they're if you're trying to recruit them. So then you're like, okay, how about I give you a call at 5:30? And now they have the opportunity to get you off the phone with a little commitment to have a call at 5:30. And
now,
is that what
you would call a revolutionary cold call technique?
I wouldn't call it a revolutionary cold call technique, but it's one that has worked consistently better for me than most of them. I don't want to talk to you.
No, I'm not. 5 o'clock's no good. I don't want to talk. I'm not interested.
Absolutely. So that's another big thing that happens is they basically just tell you to get lost, or they hang up the phone right then and there. In those situations, before, what I would do when I just started cold calling is I would just kind of write them off and be like, you know what, they're never going to be interested in me, et cetera, et cetera. Now what I do is I'll actually send them like a really short email, really something pretty small and almost kind of like humorous. So I'll say something kind of like, hey, I just got off the phone with you. I think we broke the world record for the fastest phone call. Anyway, I'm sorry I called you, obviously calling you at a bad time. And then I would insert a little bit about like the value proposition that I'm offering and then offer to have a chat later.
Okay, too detailed.
Can we answer the Butthead last year? Because it wasn't that humorous.
Okay. Well, it might not be like, you know, Comedy Central level stuff. It's a bit light. It's like it basically makes the cold calling process feel a little bit like a game, because the thing is a lot of these people that you're calling are actually nice people. It just so happens that in a cold calling situation, they turn not so nice. Just like, you know, people who are in restaurants, you know, like I'm sure anybody who works in food service can say the same thing.
Okay.
And so you're kind of just trying to make it a little bit – you're trying to take a step back from the whole sort of farce of doing a cold call.
Okay. You said you call them on the cell phone if you can, and then you also say that you send them an email. How do you get those things, and why do you prefer the cell phone?
So I prefer the cell phone because cell phone, you're getting direct access to the person. You don't have to go through, like, any gatekeepers and any of that stuff. They usually appreciate it more if they're especially if they're a paranoid developer. Because they're like, okay, at least this is a completely personal line, et cetera, et cetera. I usually find the person's cell phone, especially for tech roles. The easiest way for me to find it is usually to do a what's called a who is search on the person's domain. A lot of developers have their own websites, and they don't necessarily always pay for access to the whatever it is, like the domain privacy thing.
Function. Yeah.
And you can find out where they
so
live.
You put who what do you write into Google, or do you go to the who is site? What is it if people want to know?
I do woh.is. And that's the official registry.
Okay. Everybody understand that who wants to? Somebody wants to ask a question about that, feel free. Okay. How do you get their email? Same thing, or you use Reportive to find out emails, right?
So, yeah, I use Reportive. I use another thing called MailTester.com. MailTester.com.
Can you say that slower? Slower?
Yes.
What's the name of that site?
MailTester.
Okay.
.com.
Okay, and people can go there and figure that out. I read about it. It's very interesting. Go there themselves. That's the same one that, okay, anyway. So you got the guy. You send the email. What happens next?
So send the email. Ideally, what I've noticed is the email, like the response to an email is much higher if you've called them before.
Yeah.
So if you don't get any response, I'll usually put them on a kind of a cycle, maybe hit them up every week or 2 weeks or so. If I do get a response, depends on what the response is. Often the response is I'm very happy where I'm at, et cetera, et cetera, in which case I'll put them on maybe a longer cycle. If I have a job that looks like really interesting for them, I'll just opportunistically send it over to them.
Okay, you don't get a response to the email. The guy got you off the phone. You call him at 5 o'clock like you arranged. Nobody answers the phone. You send them an email. You don't get a reply. What do you do? When do you call him again?
All right. So if the guy says okay to 5 p.m. and I call him, no answer, and send him an email, the email is actually going to be a bit different. The email is actually going to be a little bit more. It's actually going to be a little bit harsher. It's going to be kind of like make the person feel a little bad because he didn't honor a commitment. So it'll go something like, hey, just calling, called you for our 5 p.m. call. I guess I guess we missed each other. And then offer another few options for times. And then if he still doesn't answer, then probably wait a week and try to call him again. But essentially what you're trying to do is you're trying to get the guy to make one small little commitment and then just leverage the hell out of that commitment so that he will feel as bad as possible.
How many times will you call a person? I've told the story here that I had a client once, a large recruiting firm that hired me as a subcontractor, and they said, I want you to call that person 5 times and leave voicemails. I usually call people 3 times. They asked for 5, and like an idiot, I did what they asked me. I got through to everybody, but if they had to call them 5 times, they weren't friendly by the 5th call. How many times do you call these people?
Before, like, I completely give up?
Yeah.
I'll probably do it, like, it depends on the amount of time in between each call. But I'd say I'd probably do it 3 to 4 times over the course of, let's say, a month.
If you're working a job order, you can't wait a month. You want to get them within a week, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I see. If it's like if there's a huge time crunch.
You're a headhunter, right?
Yes, yes. I see what you mean. I'll probably write an email. I'll probably call them like if it's probably 2 or 3 times and then send them an email with giving them the obvious opportunity to say no if they want to. And I'll often write this line, which works really well, which is just to say at one point in the email to write, look, I don't want to waste your time and I don't want to waste my time. And that kind of thing puts things a little bit back into perspective. It allows them to – it reminds them that your job is not just to harass them,
mm-hmm.
which sometimes they think.
How long have you been here from France? I know you're from France, but this doesn't sound that – I mean, it's interesting, but it's like – I've heard it before. I mean, it's not like it's earth-shattering. That's my point. Don't they do cold calls in France?
Yeah, there's cold calling in France as well, although I never did any cold calling in France. I did almost my whole professional career has been here.
Okay, do you use – so we're just trying to tackle one candidate right now on a job order. Do you use voicemail?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll actually say something similar to what I'll usually say in the opening line. So it'll be like, hi, this is George, calling from so-and-so company. Wanted to chat with you about this job opportunity that I'm working on. Call me back, you know, whatever my number is. And I'll usually remind them at the end what my name is. The reality is for me, though, is that voicemails have a very, very, very low success rate. The only thing that a voicemail can do, in my opinion, is just bring you back to, like, top of mind, so that if you email them again or call them again, they'll be more likely to remember you. But it's pretty rare that I've seen a voicemail, you know.
So you're saying the only thing that really works for you is a cold call that connects. Is that right?
A cold call that connects or a call and a voicemail that then will sort of help an email get responded to better.
Yeah, but the email and the voicemail, they're complements to the cold call, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Anybody got a question before I ask him what he says when he actually connects with somebody? Anybody got a question?
That's what we're waiting for, Andrew. We're waiting for guests. We want some rope. We want money.
That wonderful moment when they consummate the cold call. Okay, George, I want you to listen to me closely. I want you to describe an actual call that you made, not an abstract call. You're a headhunter. You must remember somebody real that you talked to about a specific job. You don't have to give any names of companies or the names of the candidates, but if it's a certain kind of job, especially an IT job, there's lots of people here on this call who understand what you're talking about. Don't worry about that. Make it real, okay? Do you understand that word, realité?
I think so. I'm going to give you my best.
Okay.
Good, yeah. So I'll give you an example of a call that I made 2 weeks ago. I've been recently having a lot of demand for Java developers. And there are a lot of Java developers who work in financial institutions and banks and stuff like that over here. So I found a few using the method I said, and I called one up. And he was interested in talking. And so he scuffled off into probably a conference room, and we began chatting. And so what I wanted to do, because I knew I am working for startups. So I know that I probably didn't have a big advantage when it came to financial compensation, because I'm sure that this guy was being better paid than what I could do. But I was also pretty sure that he didn't really like his job very much. I wasn't 100% sure, but those were sort of legitimate potential.
How did you come to that conclusion?
Talking to other developers who work at banks.
Okay.
Basically, I mean, it's not like absolutely set in stone, but it's a pretty fair assumption. A lot of them are pigeonholed. They do these jobs. They have like five levels of management above them. And they're not the stars of the show. The bankers are the stars of the show. They're kind of like these peons almost. So what I wanted to do is I wanted to elicit that from this guy. I didn't want to tell him that because he'd feel like I'd be just trying to, you know, talk at him. But I wanted to elicit it from him. So we had a little conversation about how is his job, how's his team set up now. So, you know, I usually keep conversations pretty open. So it's like, walk me through how your team is structured. How is the product developed on, you know, in your team? And so inevitably what I was doing was I was walking him through, hopefully, a place where he would say things that I would be able to then use sort of not against him, but use to kind of pitch the idea of working for a startup. And inevitably,
like what?
Yeah.
Like what? Reality. Remember that word? Like what?
Yes. So an example was he was talking about how he only worked on a certain part of the tech stack. And he had no idea what was being done once he did his little, like, wrote his little line of code. And we talked a little bit about it, and we went a little bit deeper. And I talked about how does that make you feel as a developer, and as someone who's created this product. And inevitably, over a few minutes, he got more frustrated about it. And the more he started venting this frustration, the more I knew that he was going to be easier and easier to pitch. So that's one thing that he said. Another thing that
Adam, can I ask a question?
Yeah,
absolutely.
My question is, when is your guest going to tell us something that we didn't learn on our first day?
You know what, Mike? Sorry, this is for beginners. Then, okay. What can he possibly tell you that you don't know about cold calls? You've been in the business 20 years or more.
What can he possibly tell you that you don't know about anything, Mike?
Well, that's true too, Jerry.
Other than how to actually pick up women.
You know what? Well, that's why I'm successful in recruiting, because I can get laid, remember?
All I want to know is how this guy recruits people successfully. He says he does. I want him to lay it out,
I told him
already. Okay. Well, so we've got to this point. The guy's frustrated. You're probing him to bring him, like a psychiatrist, to bring his pain points to life. And now you got one of them. He's alienated labor. He only does this one little piece of code, passes it on, feels like a nobody. What's the next problem that he's got?
Oh, another problem that he got was, in this case, he had never seen, well, for a line of code that he wrote to be pushed live, it took like months, like 2 or 3 months or something like that, some very long amount of time. And that was something that frustrated him as well. And we talked more about it. And it's something that's very common to people who, you know, to people who work in banks. There's a lot of red tape around, you know, writing code and a lot of stuff there. So we kept on talking about that. And then at one point what I did was I stopped him and I was like, you know, if you're interested, have you considered working in a tech startup? And he talked a little bit about how, you know, it was difficult because tech startups have no money, et cetera. But he didn't really know very much about the fact that a lot of these startups are venture funded, et cetera. And so I sort of made a bit of a pitch, talking all about the pain points, and then asked to meet him. And he said yes.
Okay, one thing I don't understand is, so you called him up and you started talking about these pain points, but what did you say? I'm a recruiter. I'd like to talk to you about, did you say, a specific position I'm working on, or just have a chat? I'm not following that.
Yeah, so actually this is interesting because I feel like the way I recruit is a little, maybe a little different than the way some of you guys are doing it. I want to bring in, like, I just want to bring in as many developers as I possibly can. Even if, like, I don't have a specific opening for them, I want to bring them in and kind of get them in my roster because that way I'll be able to send them out immediately when something comes up. And good developers are so rare that it would be stupid to, like, not meet with one and kind of get to know them even if you don't have a job opening.
Okay. So what do you say? I missed that part. When you get on the phone with them, how do you introduce yourself to have a conversation? Do you tell them, what kind of conversation do you say you want to have with them? I'm not clear about that.
Oh, okay. So the conversation that I want to have with them is almost the kind of, it's almost like a job, like a career coach conversation.
Yeah, but how do you say that to them? How do you tell them, I want to have a chat with you about what? Do they say, what are you working on? Do they say, what job are you working on, George?
Oh, do they ask me? Sometimes they ask me. Sometimes they ask me. I'll talk about some of the companies I'm working with. I mean, but the idea is...
Does anybody understand what I'm trying to ask them? Can you restate the question for me? I'm not getting through. Jerry, you know what I'm trying to say to the guy?
Yeah, but, dude, I can't dumb it down that far, man. It's embarrassing for me. I'm sorry. I told you before, don't make me...
You only call a person when you're trying to recruit them for a specific job. Am I right or wrong about that?
Usually, but you're always trying to get to know people. So the next time you've got a recruiting mission, you go to the people you already know. It's called synergy, man.
Okay, but when you call a person up, you call them up and you say, I'd like to have a chat with you, right?
Sure.
And what do you say the chat's going to be about, or do you not say?
Let's find out where you are and what you'd like to hear about. I mean, it's pretty simple.
Is that what you actually say to the guy?
Sure.
Let me hear it again. Can
or
you
something just like that. I mean, you know me, I don't role play, man. That's in my contract. I don't do your role play stuff.
Okay. George, did you hear what Jerry said? He says, hi, it's Jerry Albright. I'm a recruiter, and I'd just like to have a chat with you to find out, you know, where you are in your career. Did you say something like that? I'm not clear about what you say.
Yeah, I'll usually say something like that, but I'll also mention the fact that I'm a recruiter for tech startups, so it kind of...
Tell them who you are. I mean, you don't just...
Go ahead, George. I have things I'd like to talk about. Everybody says it's really slow moving. You're not getting to anything exciting yet. What do you think we should talk about next? And I realize you're teaching losers how to be cold callers, and the people on this call are experienced headhunters. So, I mean, I either want them to tell you something that you're not saying, or you maybe tell them something they're going to be surprised about. Is there anything that you think might surprise them?
I don't think cold calling is actually the most – I don't think there's any, like, magic words that you can say that will, like, get
mm-hmm.
people to suddenly, like, stop whatever they're doing and meet with you. So
yep.
I don't know. It's not like if people are expecting, like, you know, a formula that's going to change everything,
uh-huh.
I don't think that exists. I think the biggest problem with cold calling is not doing it. And so I talk a lot about – in my class, I talk a lot about, like, systems to get – people to make cold calls on a regular basis, which I think is much, much harder than like whatever tricks and lines you can use to get the guy.
Yeah,
okay,
I think you're far better by making 100 lame cold calls than by making 5 cold calls where you think you've got the perfect formula. It's get on the phone and do it. Call these people. You know, I think you get hung up too much in the exact words from time to time when it's really you need to be prepared to enter a discussion about what's going on with the dude at a moment.
Animal, think of it this way. He's encouraging fat people to go to the gym. It's the same thing.
I don't get you.
No. I don't know who said that, but that it's cold calling is a muscle that you build. It's not really like there's – it's like the gym. Like there might be like one type of like, you know, curl that'll improve your performance by 5%, but the reality is just doing it every day is going to be the big, big difference.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so
I read some cold calling articles before the show, and like one of them said, this guy by the name of David Ortiz was started a business, and he was making like 100 calls a day. He wasn't getting anywhere, so he got a sales coach, and the coach said, "Hey, you only have to make 1/3 of those calls if you pre-qualify your candidates or your targets." He wasn't a recruiter. So how much time do you spend, you know, qualifying the candidate before you call them? Do you research every candidate or you just get a list? Because we had a guy who's going to host the Animal Chat on Friday, Gary Chaplin. He says you have to do a lot of research on every candidate so you can talk to them specifically about, you know, what they are into.
Wrong. You're going to spend your day researching the two guys you're going to call tomorrow?
That's what he said.
Yeah, good
that's
luck,
what he
man.
Said, because
yeah.
that's the only way
that's,
you can handle
that's a
their
guy
objective.
That doesn't want to get on the phone and call somebody.
There's a guy who's making tons of money, Jerry, in England.
Oh, really?
Okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't know anything about
that. You know,
there's
really a lot of people that are making tons of money out there, not because they're particularly good at what they do. And you've had every one of those spam and scammers on week after week.
Okay, George, how much research do you have to do on a candidate before you call? I mean, you just got to get the title and you know, find out his phone number, or do you want to know a lot about him before you give a call?
So I agree with Jerry that it's a pit that you can go down the rabbit hole of research and basically not ever get around to making calls. What I want to do usually is get like obviously name, title, and then something kind of interesting about them, something they've been working on, you know, something that they've posted or something like that. So what I do is I actually will dedicate – it depends on how many calls I'm going to make, but I'll usually separate out those two processes. I'm going to spend like one day or half a day or a few hours just researching people. And I actually use Reportive to do most of my research because Reportive can just pull every bit of information about a potential candidate right off the bat. And I'll just do that and kind of be in that mode of, like, I'm not talking to anybody and I'm just building this list. And I'll usually print the list out, stick it on my desk, and then the next morning I go in and I just make all the calls. And so each person is getting, you know, not very much time, probably like a minute at most, just enough so that you have a little bit of an idea what you're talking about. But the big thing is to separate those two activities, because they're two really different kinds of activities. And what often happens is you can get bogged down in the research if you're trying to make calls and research on the same at the same time.
Okay, so you don't really do much research. You do some, and you separate it from the cold calling.
Animal, what kind of research are you talking about?
Well, you will study their LinkedIn profile. We'll take a look at their blog.
Okay, so you're supposed to call somebody up and tell them that you know all about them?
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's usually – so it depends. You don't want to do, like – you obviously don't want to find out, like, oh, yeah, this is where you grew up and stuff like that. But usually if I can find out that somebody like, you know, that they wrote a blog post on something and I see that they did that, I'll just make a note of that. So just like – I mean, this is like pretty small bits of information. But
like you saw like their cat pic the other day where it was like playing with a – playing with a football, and he thought it was really cute. And, hey, by the way, are you interested in hearing about an opportunity?
So you have to choose artfully what you're going to connect with the person. And if you don't have anything, you don't have anything. You know what I mean? I wouldn't be like, I noticed that you checked in on Foursquare to, like, you know, McDonald's 2 hours ago if you want to have a chat about a new job. You know, you can't do that. But you can talk about, you know, but you can, if it's relevant, yeah. And if it's not, you know, err on the side of making the call.
Okay, I got the point. Sure. Another guy said, when you're leaving a voicemail, you should try to drop a name that they're familiar with, that you're both familiar with. This guy, Sam Richter, who the author of Take the Cold Out of Cold Calling, he says, if you've got a mutual acquaintance or a name that a person you both know, that's going to get you a call back. Any tricks like that, George?
Yeah, absolutely. So a good trick in that field, what I do, this works especially well if you're calling people in bigger companies, is I'll just call somebody. I'll basically identify, like, maybe the 5 to 8 people that I think are the right people to talk to, and I'll call them up, and I'll actually just ask them. I won't actually try to solicit anything from them except for help. So I'll just be like, hey, this is George. I'm really, you know, I'm looking for the person who handles blah, blah, blah. Could you help me out? Could you point me in the right direction? And then you will get a whole bunch of people to point you in the right direction. And all those people can be then that one thing that you can say in the call that will – or like the one piece of research. So instead of like, oh, I noticed you wrote a blog post, you can say, oh, I was referred to you by, you know, so-and-so, or so-and-so told me to call you.
Okay,
that's what I do.
A little goes a long.
Yeah.
Somebody want to say something?
A little. It goes a
lot. Okay, you have a.
Let's fill in the blanks there. Little dabble, do you? Close? Were we close?
Oh my God!
We're going to switch gears to business development calls now, George.
Hey.
Hold on, but I got to tell you how this could have been more exciting. If you would have come on and said, "You know what? I'm going to describe 6 successful placements to you guys, and I'm going to tell you how I did it, and I'm going to tell you how you can do it too." If you brought some examples and said, "Guys, this is how I make big money, and I'm going to show you the actual deals that I closed," and that's people would want to listen. Their ears would perk up. Don't you think so?
People, I don't know. I mean,
yeah,
people don't
I
like the
so.
Guy saying, this is how I build millions. So,
rarely
do I say anything.
I like it. I like it. Okay, let's switch to business development. How do you
business
bring in
development.
Business? How do you bring in the business, George?
How do you do it?
Do you want to say anything to George? Amy Alice, you know, saying a lot of stuff on Twitter. I know she got nothing to say on.
I am saying a lot of on Twitter. I think, well, this whole, like, oh, hey, we both know so-and-so. Well, so-and-so's an asshole. If you know him, I don't want to know you. How about that? You ever get that response?
That would be I haven't, but that would be pretty funny. Another way to get around, like, to avoid that thing, too, is try to call somebody who's obviously more senior. And so even if that senior person is an asshole, it's going to be a lot more likely that they're going to be like, well, I guess I should pick up that, you know, take that call anyway.
But what
but
do you really know Senior Asshole, or are you just pretending that you do, or you're connected on
yeah,
or whatever?
Yeah, that's what he's doing.
What if he's my brother-in-law, and I know him really well, and I say, hey, this guy called me, says he knows you. I don't know that guy. I mean, really? This whole shifty, shady, how about just call somebody and say, hey, dude, I'm a recruiter. I recruit in your industry. I run into jobs for you all the time. I have no idea if you're looking right now. You're probably not, but can we talk so that in the future, if you do decide you want to make a change, you know who to call?
No,
How about that? How about we just peel back all the crap and we just have real conversations with people and develop relationships and be the kind of recruiter that I want to call when I need to make a change?
No, I mm-hmm. You're preaching to the choir. I agree.
Show's over, folks. Nothing to see here.
That was pretty nice, Amy. I like that.
Thank you. See, I could do real recruiting if I wanted to, Jer.
Okay. Okay. How do you bring in the business? We're switching to business dev now. Biz dev. Amy,
okay. Don't
hesitate to speak up. You're better with the guy than I am. You speak his language, okay? Go ahead.
I just have a cord right now off in your ear.
Biz dev.
Oh, so usually biz dev, I usually email people for biz dev stuff mostly. I find that works pretty well.
They're going to slaughter you and me. We're going to get slaughtered in the after show. No other show has an after show, and people tell you what they think. We're going to get killed. You got 15 minutes to save me, okay?
All right. I'll usually send out emails, what I've done recently is send out a bunch of emails to people. When I notice that they're looking for specific roles, I'll actually send them out. I've created this plan of like places that I would poach out of. So I basically will be like, hey, we're not working together right now, but if we did work together, and even if we don't, you can use this. Here's a list of all the companies that probably have people that you'd want to that would be good for you. And these are the places to poach them out of. And here's why. And I've done that a handful of times in the past week, and it's been pretty successful.
They say thanks, and they go and get the people out of there without including you, or what?
No, they never go do that because it's too much work. So they'll often be like. So sometimes, obviously I've been ignored a handful of times, but a lot of times I usually am asking them, the ask in the email is to meet them in person and go check out.
What's the subject line? What's the subject line?
The subject line is usually the role that they're looking for.
Just the name? Just the title itself?
Yeah, so it could be like that, or I've also done like, you know, places to poach your next blah, blah, blah. Whatever, VP
mm-hmm.
of marketing or whatever, mm-hmm. and that works really well. I almost pretend that I'm working with them even before we've done anything.
Yeah, it sounds like that's just something you tried recently. That's not a surefire thing that you've made tons of money off of. Am I right?
Yeah, that's something that I've tried recently, but really it's been very successful so far. I mean, we'll see how it goes in the next few years.
You don't cold call for business development, is that right?
Yeah, not so much.
Why?
Aren't
most of your students coming there for that reason, to find out how to bring in business?
Who takes this class? Are recruiters taking this class? Are job seekers? Are bored housewives? Like, who are your students? And
most
how much
students,
does this cost?
So most students are they're either salespeople or like freelancers. Actually, there are a lot of freelancers. It's not a recruiting specific class.
What are they selling? Like Kirby's?
No, I don't know. Like photography services, web design services.
Okay, so it's a photographer who doesn't know how to do business development, so he got snookered into taking this class.
I mean, I think they've gotten a good value for their money, but basically. I have 150 testimonials.
Okay,
I can send you the link if
you
want.
I would love to. Yeah, Animal, can you put on the link to the show? Because
what do you mean?
Here's the thing, man. If it's a good service, it's a good value, I want to send people there. I want to say, hey, you want to learn about cold calling? You got to see this guy. You got to take this class. I want to be able to do that. That's why I keep coming back to this stupid show. If I can hopefully learn things that I can pass along to other people who want to learn things.
The action in this show is on Twitter. There's a lot of interesting stuff there. People should do a search on animal and read what they can see there. So, George, we're getting close to the end. Is there anything? You know, I read another guy. They said whenever you make a cold call, always send a follow-up email summarizing what was discussed. Do you do that?
If the call was successful.
Yeah.
No, usually what I want to do, I usually at
why
the end of a successful
call. Why do you want to meet somebody? Let me ask you that. You're always asking to meet people, biz dev or new clients, or why do you want to meet them?
Because if you can meet them, the level of relationship that you get is like above and beyond anything that you'd be able to do on the phone.
Why is that?
Something about human connections. When you meet the person, you like they get to know you better. They like you. I don't know.
Anybody else got some questions? There's a ton of people here. I can't believe how many people are on the
Phil
line.
Said I was mean. I don't know what I said that was mean, but hopefully he'll
you weren't mean. You were pretty good. I'm appreciating your help today. Okay.
Thank you.
Testimony from me. Okay. Well, George, what haven't we asked you that we should? I got a feeling that you're not giving us the full goods, and you're saving that for people on your course.
I think we talked a lot about like the details and the nitty gritty of like what you say and lines and stuff like that. We didn't talk that much about how to motivate yourself to make cold calls. It might not be the best form to do it because I think your the people that your audience is pretty seasoned, at least from what I'm getting.
Shows for beginners, so let's talk about that.
What is the
reward?
Members.
I know for me it used to be, okay, I'm sending out these, 20 calls, and as long as I connect to two live people, I'll go buy myself a coffee. Like that may seem ridiculous, but that's what worked for me. So what do you tell people?
Okay, yeah. So I actually have a series of rules that I follow when making calls, and I can run you through them. And they're mainly ways to like motivate yourself and turn the whole process into a system instead of getting all worried about it. And so actually one of the points is what you said, which is to focus exclusively. So I actually didn't even focus on whether I connected or not. I would focus exclusively on making the number of calls, the number of dials that I said I was going to make, regardless of the outcome, because that way it was something that I had 100% control over, and I would go reward myself with whatever, like coffee or ice cream or whatever. And the other thing that I did in my previous job when I was at working at Dave Partners was we would all have a cold calling hour, all like me and my team. And what we would do is we would have these weird words that we would have to insert into either a voicemail or a call. And so the words were first like words like incredible. Which is easy enough to insert, but then it would be words like, I don't know, like banana or doorknob or things like that. And what happened is that cold calling became a lot more like prank calling, which I've done a lot in the past and a lot of people have. And the reality is those two, cold calling and prank calling, are kind of like, they're like distant relatives, but there's a lot of similarity between them. And if you can,
I love prank calling, man. I haven't done it in 2 or 3 years, but it's good stuff.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't do it all the time either, but I used to do it. I mean, I used to do it a lot. It's funny and it's fun to do, but the odd thing is cold calling is similar, but it's not fun to do. So I always try to take as much of prank calling as possible and put it into cold calling. So it can be stuff like, I mean, the weird words were the stuff I've actually used, but I mean, you can do a number of different games and stuff like that.
Yeah, cold calling and prank calling are not the same at all, because in one, you hide your identity, and the other, your mission is to tell them who you are, right? I mean, so
no, but there's creativity to it, and if you if done right, it should be fun, exhilarating. I'm gonna make some great phone calls this afternoon. I want to record them. It was a lot better in the in the 70s where there was no caller ID. I mean, you could just go to town back then.
Yeah, no.
And I was 11.
Didn't you say that? Didn't you say in one of your articles, George, that you could have an IQ of 80 and a phone and a LinkedIn account and start a recruiting firm?
Yes.
what do you mean by that? I mean, what have we been talking about this whole time? What's the?
That kind of just pokes a hole in this whole show, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, do you need to be a good recruiter?
But did you train a monkey to cold call? That's the question.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't take much to make it doesn't take much to create a lot of noise and send out crappy emails and make bad phone calls. And so that's what I'm saying, that the barriers to entry are pretty low. And there are a lot of people who aren't very smart doing it.
What you said during the show is the number of calls you make, just getting on the phone, that's what decides whether you're going to be successful or not. Now you're saying something completely different. Just like the psychiatric session, the truth comes out at the end. You're saying now you got to be smart. You got to make good calls. You got to know the industry. You're saying all of what I said before, forget about it.
Emil, can I clarify your guest's view on this? Because I'm reading his blog right now.
Yeah, go ahead.
And I quote your guest. The problem is that somebody with an IQ of 80 could still buy a phone, a LinkedIn Pro account, and start an agency. So I guess that's what he thinks of all of us.
Well, I'm in the same boat as you guys.
Oh, of course, it's not us. It's all the rest of us.
No. I'm just saying that it's a business that doesn't require very much to get started.
Okay. So what does it require to be successful? Your last thing, what does it require to be successful? What I gathered for most of the show is that just if you get on the phone, you're going to be successful. Yes or no?
Yes. If you get on the phone, you will be able to live out the full potential of your recruiting ability. I think that's the best way to say it.
Is that the way French people answer? Because I don't consider an answer. That's not an answer. This guy's name is George, G-E-O-R-G-E-S, Janin, J-A-N-I-N. That's the name of his Twitter account. I don't know why you don't take that S out if you're living and working in the United States, okay? Why make it hard? George Janin on Twitter. What's your website's address, George?
Oh, Tech Talent Digest.
What is it again? Top Talent?
TechTalentDigest.com.
TechTalentDigest.com?
Yes.
Which I'm reading right now and trying to find one thing that I agree with. I haven't found it yet.
Well, you'll tell us. George,
you should
time is up.
Comment on it.
Hey, I'm going to say something official. This guy is a star. George, I'd love to have you on my team. I see that you make a move about every 7 to 9 months, so give me a call this fall when you're ready to roll, and let's knock something out of the park. JerryTheRecruiter.com. That's me.
George, thank you!
A thing, do. Hey, Mike,
that was interesting.
It's interesting you brought that up at the end, too, Jerry, because I'm looking at his bio. He has sold perfume, cookies, trains, software as a service platforms, language learning software, and many otherware before he became a recruiter in 2011.
Yeah, you know what?
Our
dude is in sales.
11?
Yes, 2011 he became a recruiter.
And he's teaching people how to recruit. Holy cow.
And, hey, I tell you what, there's not a person here who wouldn't want this guy on the team.
For the next 6 months.
Hey, give me the next three. I don't care. Because right about 3 months is where you actually knock out a few placements. Then you bail. No commission. So long.
You know what? I'm going to
use your database, Nahez style.
Oh, whatever.
No, what's wrong with this kid?
Nothing.
Hey, Stringer, what's your problem here?
I thought it was a great show.
I'm going to say the meanest thing I ever said on this show about someone.
I'm surprised this show didn't start with him singing a Barney song.
Did they sing? I missed the singing.
Oh, I forgot.
I don't think there's a song this time.
No, I don't. No singing.
Damn it.
I'm gonna start out because I want to listen to a radio program in a few minutes.
Is this Nahez?
Yeah, it is. It's Steve Nahez. Animal needs to get some. I think more established people on board.
Dude, Nahez, I know where you're coming from. The whole actually call somebody and get to know them probably just freaked you out, man. I understand
that.
They don't
do that in Detroit.
No, it's strictly email. Strictly email. You need to be open to it.
No, I'm open to it. I can't believe I just sat and listened to some guy that's been doing something for a few months telling us how to do it better. You know, it's okay. I got his shtick. You know, there's tact to, let's just call it telemarketing, okay? And I get it. You know, he's starting his phone conversation trying to drum up, you know, one of those hated words, empathy or guilt or whatever. And I don't like that approach because I'm with Amy on this. You're basically starting the conversation negative, okay,
yeah.
Even though you're throwing yourself under the bus. I give the guest a 6, and I give Animal a 12 this week.
What'd you give the guest?
A 6.
This
and
is yeah, of one,
I
one
give,
to 100.
Jerry
one to 100.
100. Oh,
Jerry
my.
Gets a 100 because I would absolutely stick this guy in a chair for 6 months, crank up my spamming, and make about, you know, 50 grand and then dump him.
But why dump him? He's got the right attitude. Pick up the phone, call somebody, tell them what you're doing, get to know them, and move it to the next step. What's
that's
your problem
his
here,
half
people?
Life is, his half-life is 3 months. You don't understand what in his fantasy world what his real job is. The guitar player or, you know, whatever. What he's doing is all secondary to his fantasy role of whatever it is that he considers himself.
Okay, so what was your score for him on a scale of 0 to 100?
6. He got a 6. Animal got a 12 for picking him in the first place. And Jerry,
I don't know if I can accept that.
You get a 100 because he would generate some money. And I love you guys. I will see you next week. And,
all right, man.
But I won't. I won't because I'm going off to the secret location with my wife, and we're going to – I'm going to disappear for a week. So I'll see you later.
Yeah, I've got 2 weeks coming up. We'll be in the north of your state there up at Mullet Lake. Isn't that fitting for me, A. Stringer?
All right, we'll see you later.
Okay,
Amy Allah.
Yes. Oh, man. I'm going to give him a 60. I'm going to give the guest a 60. It's 40 for showing up, and he took his hits well. He really did. I'm a little snarky with him. I have a cold. I don't feel well. And I was kind of bitchy. But he didn't threaten to hang up. He didn't cry. So he gets a few extra points for that. I think to Steve's point, though, he's probably a different kid. And I agree with you. He's got the right concept. He's not afraid of the phone, which is good. But at about 6, 8, 9 month mark, he starts probably getting scared or not getting not seeing success or whatever, so he bails and he thinks, oh well, it's not me, it's this particular product I'm selling or this particular company I'm for, and so he bounces to the next thing. So until he gets past that and really kind of digs in and sticks with something for a couple of years, he's probably never really going to be successful. But in the short term, he builds your database, and that's not a bad thing.
I'm so turned on when Amy Allah is bitching.
if you're actually turned on right now, I'm hanging up because that freaks me out. I'm uncomfortable. That's not where I'm going with this.
Oh my gosh. Well, you know, I'm going to give him an 87.
Mm.
I think that, boy, the first half of the show was rough.
I think he got the 87 because there earlier you said, hey, I don't remember. And he said, no, you're doing great. Thanks, Amy. I love you, Amy. You're so
great. Yeah, exactly. That's why I bumped up the score
a
little bit.
If that's all somebody has to do to get a high score from you, then take a lesson there.
It helps. You know, but I'm doped up on NyQuil right now, so you're going to take it with a grain of salt.
You got I'm disappointed in the scores for the kid, but go ahead.
You
A stringer.
But 60, I mean, normally I would rip somebody like this to shreds, but I think he's young. I think that, you know, again, he handled himself really well when we started being mean to him. So I appreciate it. He could have been a big baby. He could have been like, what's his bucket? Ziv? Whatever. I mean, that guy just got,
Ziv.
You know, he just got all hurt and started attacking us. But this kid, whose name I can't remember, what it, George? He just said, you know, you guys are great, and let me just be nice to you, even though I'm probably flipping you off from behind my screen. And that's okay. That's totally okay. So good for him for at least not acting like a baby.
All right. A stringer.
So I'm on George's blog right now, and he's got a picture on his blog, and it sort of freaked me out a little bit because I remember watching an episode of Law and Order where a runaway kid was like selling his body for meals, and he looks very much like that kid.
Okay.
I don't know what to say. Adam will need to book her. I've been saying it week after week after week. Adam will need to book her because I think of the people that I know on this call, you know, our general tenure in recruiting is somewhere between 10 and 20 years. And why do we need somebody that's been doing this for 3 months to come on and tell us how to cold call?
You know, maybe it's just to remind us what our job really is. It's not all this other crap. It's calling
people. I might take that from one of my peers, but this kid's not my peer.
Yeah.
And, I wish
this guy was on my team. And I'll tell you why. Because so many people get caught up in what guys can't do or what girls. I'll hire this guy for what he does do. And that's pick up the phone, tell somebody what he's doing all day long. I love it.
And he likens it to a crank call.
And see, that just really just added it to me, added it for me, because that's how I got my start.
But the problem, Jerry, if you could look at a different side of that, is that he's reading from the same script book we were taught 20-some years ago.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know. I don't give my young recruiters that script book because I want them to think outside the box and bring them up.
No, you have to start with a basic outline of the structure of a successful call. So if you just want to put people in a bullpen and tell them to smile and dial, then good luck.
No, but I think you need to bring your own personality to the call. And I remember 20-some years ago being uncomfortable reading from those scripts and being on the other side of the desk now. I get just as uncomfortable when a young recruiter cold calls me, hearing him trying to make it through that script. You know what I mean?
Okay, starting off with the joke and the stuff. Okay. All right. So what are your scores
anyway,
then?
Anyway, Animal needs a booker. That's the bottom line. We need some better guests. So we got a spammers and a 3 month recruiter in the last 6 weeks.
Yep.
So I'm giving Animal a 50 for booking this show in the first place and letting it go on as painful as it was. I actually got up and went to the convenience store in the middle of the show. And I'm going to give the guest a 65 for effort, but really he should have known who coming here to talk to.
But he's a startup recruiter, and you're in the startup space. He's the guy that you run into.
He's the guy that gives me a business because that's what my competition looks like.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Again, I'm just going to say, he is welcome on my team any day, and we will evaluate in 90 days.
Hey. Well, you know, he's been CEO for about 6 days now, so when he's done being a CEO, he'll
All right, who else has another score up in here? Blake?
Holy cow, man.
World's greatest ex-recruiter.
That was brutal. You know what I likened the guy to, and this is all I could think about when I was listening to some of his shenanigans, but it was, you know those HR, like, conference professionals, you know, the ones that are at every event.
And they
blog on the side, and they have these fantastic, you know, blogs where they tell everybody all about their HR profession, but they've never actually really done the job. That's kind of what I was thinking about with this guy. You know, he's got a nice little blog here. He pretends to be a recruiter and wants to teach people how to do it. And, you know, I'll give him like a 25 for showing up. Mm-hmm. And like Mike said, I mentioned it 2 weeks ago. Animal needs to get somebody to book his shows, man. That was hard. Last week was hard. This was hard.
I'm supposed to be doing that. But I've been busy mowing.
Yeah, spreading rocks and mowing.
Yep. Right. Rocks don't spread themselves, Blake.
You know, I've been busy riding my new Harley, but I still make the time to show up.
I know.
So what's your score then for Animal, Blake?
50. I'm echoing Mike Stringer on this one.
Man, you guys are just hard to please, man. What do you need here? You need circus animals, big tent. What do you need? Come on.
I need that hour that I'm sitting on the call to be worth it.
Okay. And what does this show need?
A booker.
No, I mean, if we already know all this stuff, then who's the show for?
Teach us something that we don't already know, or remind us of something we may have forgotten.
I think that would be impossible.
No, it was fun. It was, you know, I don't know. I mean, to me, that it was good in that I was able to. I feel that much smarter after listening to that guy, though.
All right.
But, he tried. You know, he made the effort.
I'm giving him an 83, an Animal a 71. I think he gets an 83 because his execution as a guest was very good. Started off with Animal screaming at him, saying, hang up, call back. He did. He hung in there. Half of the people would have probably just said, I'm not going back in for that.
Yeah.
But you give him a 25, Blake. All right. Anybody else have any scores here?
I don't have a score.
That's a blended scale, by the way. That's blended. It's a blended rate.
Why don't you have a score, Kathy?
It's just there was nothing about the show that even makes me want to think of a number.
No, that's a violation of your duties. Come on.
It was so blah. Okay, 10 and 10.
Wow.
It really irritates me, actually, that he had someone on who has not been in the industry for a very long time trying to school us or share with us his, quote, successes, unquote. And I felt it was a scam. I didn't like it.
But wasn't the show really just a good example of how this work is not that hard? It's not rocket science. You just simply have to do it. Get your list of names, call the people, see what's going on.
No, it is hard because you've got to know about the different industries. You know.
But I mean, I'm talking within your niche. I mean, you have to have an understanding of it, you know.
Yeah.
All right, who else has a score? Travis? Nope. Anybody else call in?
If not, can I make a quick comment?
Yeah.
Kathy Manis, I just want to say you've become incredibly more sexy since you got married.
Oh, I don't know. Well, thank you.
I think I mentioned that a couple weeks ago, too, Mike.
I'm coming out of my shell, I think.
No, your little bikini shot on Facebook was right on the money.
Well, that's when I paddleboard.
I'm the responsible party for this part of the show.
Hey, while you're responsible, so since we've got an open line still, I need to hire a contract sourcer. If anybody listening is interested, let me know.
Contract Sourcer.
You should call Human Capital Consultant.
I can't hire from Dayton. I need to get somebody in house. Work remote. Remote's fine, but.
Blake, you should call Human Capital Consultants, 800-378-0847. I hear they can help you.
Why don't you call that kid, man? Hey, give that dude a shot. Would you hire that guy?
He's a professional, man. I'm serious.
He was.
Yeah, he might be good for your team, but not mine.
I would hire that dude in a flash.
Well.
And anybody that... You hire people for their strengths.
Don't put him on any of the wrecks that you're working on for me.
Let's leave that decision to the people in the know, okay?
Yeah, we'll ask your better half on that one.
Hey, is anybody else on the line that would like to give us a score here, people? Animal, anybody else on the line that's not talking?
Got a lot of people. Great, great after show today, I got to tell you. But I don't know if anybody hasn't spoken yet. By the way, let me say something since you brought me in. That guy was referred. I like the kid, too. He should have pepped it up. He should have told some real stories. But he was referred to me by someone who saw
the movie. He didn't have any stories. He had no experience.
He had stories about that Java dude at the bank.
Dude, that was a training lesson he teaches to somebody. That wasn't a real story. You could tell he was going through his notes on that one.
Really?
Really.
No. I guess maybe I'm able to see bigger picture, okay? I don't have blinders on. I'm not a horse.
He assumes that the guy would be unhappy at his job because most developers at banks are unhappy at their jobs. I mean, really?
Is that Alan? Who's doing that?
That was me, sorry.
All right. Okay, well,
it's just flush when you're done, Mike.
Don't forget to check for
toilet paper hanging out of your skirt.
Call me, Mike. My number hasn't changed.
I call you 5,000 times. You never return one.
Get the fuck out. No way.
You ought to be used to that, Mike. I call people one time and they call me back.
I'll send you a quick email with my digits on it.
Do you want to mention what that pays, Blake?
$40 an hour.
Uh-huh. That's legit. What kind of people will they be sourcing?
I need help with product management types, clinical backgrounds, regulatory experience, and coming out of the hospital industry, healthcare, product analyst, which is a fancy name for actually a business analyst with the same type of clinical background, wire mock-ups, you know the deal, the wireframe mock-ups, all that good stuff.
Okay.
And Baltimore, Chicago, areas primarily, potentially Boston, Wakefield area, North Boston, and then a slew of technical folks, software developers. We use the .NET stack. We don't really hire Java folks. SQL, data analysts, Chicago, Dallas, Nashville, QA folks.
Sweet.
Yeah, pretty much a wide variety of everything. And then
get the word out, everybody.
If anybody's hired, you know, salespeople that sell software and services into the hospital market, you know, hospital is a client, then that is also somebody that can... It'd be good.
Is this 40 hours a week, or would you want somebody that would juggle a couple contracts?
Do you want somebody dedicated to this? Yeah, I mean, I have a contractor right now that's working for us that's kind of juggling a couple, and, I mean, while she does a pretty good job, I'd really like for this person to really focus just on my business instead of, you know, having a split time. There's enough work that it would keep somebody busy for 40 hours a week.
Okay.
If they've got any full cycle recruiting experience, that would work as well.
Super. Hopefully somebody hears this.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah.
I mean, we could literally start somebody Monday.
It is the animal show. Probably nobody's hearing it.
Yeah, but I try to tell myself that somebody will hear this. It gives me hope to carry on. And with that, we'll end the show.
The flight's booked, by the way, Jer.
What?
Said the flight is booked.
All right. Look out. I might borrow my neighbor's mower, so I'll have a couple here so we can both mow at the same time if you're into it.
give me a brush hog with the
yeah. All right, man. See y'all.
Tractor with a lawnmower blades on the back of it, Mike, for all you city folks.
Yeah. See you, man.
All right, bye.
Hi, everybody. Recruiting Animal back with you. I forgot to do my ads during the show. I have no one to remind me, so I'm going to do them right now. I'll tape them, and I'll record them and play them again next week. Anyway, I've got a new sponsor, Recritters.com. 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 It's a Twitter directory for recruiters and HR people. A Twitter directory. You just have to go there to Recritters.com and register with your Twitter account. There you go. It's from Chris Russell, our good friend from Career Cloud. KepiCareers.com. KEPPIE Careers.com. A visitor to this show has a course for small business people who want to get into social media and don't know anything at all or just a little. She personally helps you do everything that needs to be done. She's been on the show, seems like a very nice person. Check her out, KepiCareers.com, OnlineJobTour.com. We had a guy on this show last year who has what I thought was a fabulous product. It's called Online Job Tour. He creates a website for the employer full of interviews, videos with current employees, and a wide variety of people, actually. He works mainly with hospitals in small towns that have trouble attracting doctors. So he talks with doctors and nurses. He puts the conversations online. You know what? They seem sincere to me. What else can I tell you? He also talks with the important people in the town, like the mayor, like the businesses. Gives you a real idea of what they got there. He's looking for recruiters who want to act as agents and help him expand the reach of his product. If you sell it to someone, it doesn't just help them sell one job. It works for every job. It's a strategic product. So check it out, OnlineJobTour.com. And if you want to talk to Carl Brickman, he wants to talk to you. And finally, I want you to buy my book for $2.99, The Psychology of Job Hunting.com, or rather just PsychologyofJobHunting.com. I'm going to read you a little quote from one of the reviews. Animal doesn't have the professional credibility to write a book about psychology because he's a recruiter, not a psychologist. I, however, disagree. So, psychologyofjobhunting.com. That's it for another week. Bye-bye.
Well, they don't like the way I talk, and they complain. My show's a bunch of schlock. They criticize about me endlessly. Nobody knows how they got stuck with me, and they complain about the hat I wear, and they explain there's other shows out there, and then they whine my show makes too much noise, and then they say I shout at all the guys. Yeah.